It was about 4 years ago, around this time, when Sheila and I started sensing that God was calling us to start a church here in Bainbridge. And we had gotten involved with a group that was planning the first ever block party for here in Bainbridge. And when we were in that group, one of the people we met was Tanya. And as we shared with her that, you know what, we feel like God is calling us to start a church, she was like the very first person we met that was like, yeah, count me in. I'll be a part of that. And she was also the first person to step in and become a part of the ministry saying, I'll do the kids ministry. And she did that for what? First 2 years, I think. Tanya was the person doing the kids ministry faithfully every single week. And so she's been a part of this church from the very beginning. And she has been wanting to share her story. And so today's the day. Would you give Tanya a warm welcome as she comes?
I got a big mouth. I don't need that. All right, holy intimidation. I am by no means a public speaker, so please bear with me. I was looking for a verse, because everybody always includes a verse in their stories. Couldn't find one. Kept looking. I found one. It's John 16, 16 through 20. Jesus went on to say, in a little while you will see me no more, and then a little while you will see me. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, what does he mean by saying, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? And because I am going to the Father, they kept asking, what does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, are you asking one another what I meant when I said, in a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me? Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. I read that and I was like, I didn't understand how that could even be possible. You know, we all go through so much in life, and some obviously a whole lot more than others. How does your grief ever turn into joy? So it begins. I was born into a life that I would never understand or begin to comprehend until I became much, much older, maybe. October 12th, 1976. Yeah, I'm dating myself, sorry. The world was blessed with a beautiful baby girl, blonde hair, blue eyes. That wasn't me. There was another little baby next to me that also had blonde hair and blue eyes. It clearly wasn't me. Anywho. But in all seriousness, there was an angel there looking down on me that day in my cozy little hospital bassinet. And while gazing at my cherubic little face, declared, this one's going to be trouble. Truer words have never been spoken, my friends. So we're going to fast forward about a year. July of 1977, a man, a hitchhiker named Fran. That's all I ever knew him by was Fran. Was picked up by a man who at that time was a man of God. His name was George. Of course, this was back in the day when everyone trusted everyone, and there was never a thought about people being scary, untrustworthy, whatever the case may be. The man, George, brought Fran back to his house, where his wife, Dorothy, never batted an eye, because that's how they were, always helping others and following what God wanted them to do. And this is where my story truly begins. Fran told them a story about a house where there were children surrounded by a mother that couldn't take care of them. Drugs, alcohol, constant revolving door of numerous men. And right away, Dorothy wanted to help said children. She drove Fran back to this house, and she befriended the woman that lived there, my biological mother, whose name was Lois, and her friend Judy. After several visits and many conversations, Dorothy told Lois that she would care for my brother Richard and my sister Tammy, who were 7 and 8 years old at the time. This arrangement was agreed upon, but to make everything legit, they decided to go through Children and Youth. She brought them home as soon as she could. But where was I in all this? Oh yeah, I was still there. I was left behind. I mean, I don't get it either, but I was adorable, little, cute, whatever. When she brought them home, she always told me that she couldn't stop thinking about the baby that was still there. Hello? Really? How could you possibly forget about me? So she came back for me. When she took me from the house, of course with permission from Children and Youth, I had only two things with me, a diaper and a bottle of water. On our way to what was going to be my forever home, she stopped at a store and bought me some of the things I would need. She brought me to the place that was so foreign to me, a home. A home that had love, attention, stability, the list could go on and on. First thing she did was give me a bath, but she thought she did something wrong, even though parenting was not something that she was naive to, as she had two children of her own and raised even about 10 at this point. I came out of the bath, completely clean, platinum blonde. Okay, it's not obvious now, but just work with me. Okay. That's how dirty I was, from head to toe. So my first night in this house that was so foreign to me was not easy, as I was told. I wasn't used to being shown love or tons of attention. Bedtime was the worst. I didn't know what it was like to sleep in a soft, warm crib, so I didn't. Dorothy took me from the crib, brought me downstairs so I could crawl around on the kitchen floor, tire myself out, and I'd be able to go to sleep. What did I do? I hit the linoleum floor, crawled under the kitchen table, and went right to sleep. Why? Because that's what I was used to. From the time I was able to move on my own, I was left to sleep wherever I ended up, which was usually in the kitchen on the cold floor. So fast forward through many years of mandatory visitations, because in those days, if you weren't dead, you had to visit your biological family. And believe me, I remember calling my biological mom and telling her that I was dead and wouldn't be able to make the visits. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Her, not so much. I was 3 when I was given the choice as to where I wanted to live. Couldn't write my name, but an X was all it took to make it known to the courts where I wanted to stay. Would that stand now? Not a chance. But that's how things have changed. My biological mom and I never had a good relationship. I showed respect because that's how I was raised. But there was never a solid mother-daughter relationship. Ever. I was always considered the black sheep of the family. There was always favoritism. My brothers and sister got all the attention, and I was just taking up space, like always. She passed away in May of 2008, and try as I might, I couldn't shed one tear as I stood there looking at her. Instead, I was filled with anger, bitterness, resentment, and so many unanswered questions. How could you have 5 children and not raise any of them? How could you leave your first 2 sons in the hospital and make your mother raise your first 2 children? The list of questions goes on and on. I'll never have those answers, and I've come to be okay with that. Kind of. My biological father passed away on August 25th of 2015 with me by his side. Him and I were very close. Always. Always joking, laughing. I could tell him anything. He was my biggest fan. I miss him so much. During my life growing up, I was subjected to many things. Love, laughter, fun. Church on Saturday evenings, Sunday morning, Wednesday evenings. I was always at church. But even through all of that, the thing that I remember most was abuse. The man of God that had picked up that hitchhiker so many years ago turned into someone I grew to fear. Gambling, unfaithfulness, physical, mental abuse. I witnessed it all. I remember being 12 or 13 when I finally decided enough was enough and I wasn't going to allow him to treat my mom that way anymore. started standing up to him. So, the name calling, the physical abuse, the mental abuse, then got turned on me because I wasn't going to allow him to treat her that way. And I was okay with it. I was more than happy to take the blows as long as it saved my mom. I took being choked, slapped, headbutted, degraded, cursed at, spit on, all because I knew I had to defend my mom. And I continued defending her up until the day he got sick over a year and a half ago, pretty much up until the day he was unable to talk due to cancer taking over. I watched and even cared for this man that I called Dad for 40 years pass away just a year later. We were never really close, but it broke my heart just the same. So I guess this brings me to my kids. Holy cow. I don't even know where to begin with this one. I was 19 when I experienced my first miscarriage. It bothered me, but I really didn't think I was mature enough to understand the full impact that it really had on my life. In June of 2000, I became pregnant again. I was over the moon. I was ecstatic. I was so happy. A month into the pregnancy, I experienced another miscarriage. Went to the hospital completely numb. Went through the whole process of being poked and prodded. They did an ultrasound and told me my other babies are looking good. Wait, what? What? Other babies? Are you sure you're a doctor? You know what you're looking at? How could that be? I had a miscarriage. I witnessed it. I saw it. Oh, no. Lo and behold, there were two other little babies in there. So it was triplets. I miscarried one. Needless to say, I left Hershey Medical Center Hospital in complete and utter shock. A few months go by, and I make it to October. October 8th, 2000. Woke up from a dead sleep in such pain. I knew something wasn't right. I was in active labor at 22 and a half weeks. I was rushed to the hospital, but there was nothing they could do. After 16 and a half hours of horrible, terrible labor, scared out of my mind, I gave birth to a set of perfect, beautiful, identical twin boys. Sorry. Their names were Jaden and Jordan. Hey, thanks. I held them both, touched and counted their perfect little tiny fingers and toes, kissed their precious little faces countless times. Never stopped telling them how much mommy loved them and how sorry I was that I wasn't able to have them come home with me. After 45 minutes, they both passed away. Jaden passed first after being with me only half an hour. Jordan followed his brother just 15 minutes later. After holding them a little while longer, asking God why, how could you do this to me? What did I ever do to deserve this? I had to hand my babies over to the nurses. I said goodbye to them for the final time, and they were gone. The next morning, I went home empty-handed without my boys. My life was officially over. How is it that all of this happened to me and I was supposed to go on with life and smile and laugh? Are you crazy? That doesn't happen. There's no way that happens. I thought people were crazy that they even expected me to do this. That very afternoon started my downward spiral into a place, looking back now, I wouldn't wish on anyone, ever. And I certainly don't ever want to be there again. I was depressed, angry, bitter, mean, sad. If the feeling existed, I experienced it. I began drinking every single weekend. Couldn't drink during the week because I had to work. So hung out till the weekend. I didn't know how else to numb the pain, to make it go away. Most times I don't even remember how I got home or where I was, where I parked my car, I had no idea. After about 6 months of every weekend intoxication and several suicide attempts, I knew I had to get help. But honestly, I had nowhere to turn. I didn't know who to turn to. So I did the only thing that I knew. I started praying again. I'm sure God got so sick of listening to me crying and got so sick of me asking hundreds of questions. Why me? What could I have done differently? What did I do wrong? What, you know, why were my boys taken from me? Am I being punished? What did I do to make you punish me this way? I remember waking up one day after praying and crying all night, feeling such a sense of peace. It was so surreal. I was finally pulled from that deep, dark place, and I was able to finally see things a little more clear. I was lucky. I wasn't being punished. I was there when those beautiful creatures came into my life, and I was lucky enough to be there when they drifted out. Not many people experience those kind of things. I didn't realize it then. I do now. It still hurts. Every single day it still hurts. But I know I'll get to hold them again. One day. I can't wait. So after going through that ordeal, I never thought that I would have any more children, nor did I care if I ever did. I was scared. I knew I wouldn't survive it again. I knew I wouldn't. But here we are 15 years later, and God blessed me with my beautiful, loving, caring, strong-willed daughter and two Nixie independent, adorable little boys that I just like to duct tape to the wall most days. I think he felt sorry for me, so he punished me with having two boys that... I don't know. I don't know what he was thinking. I'm sure he does. I haven't figured it out yet. So here I am, still alive. That saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Yeah, it's true. But I know that I wouldn't be here had I not turned to the only constant in my life, God. He was there for me when no one else was. And I felt I had nothing to live for. He showed me that there is still beauty in the world, and that all I had to do was put my trust in him. Do I still struggle? Yep. Am I sad sometimes? Absolutely. Do I still play the what if game? What if I would have done this differently? What if I wouldn't have given in to the Happy Meal craving every day because that's what I craved with them? Sure I do. I fall short every single day, no matter how hard I try not to. I'm not perfect. I'm only human. But with God on my side, I know he will always pull me through and keep me humble and keep me on the path that he wants me to be on. Path. That path, it took me a very long time to realize what exactly he wanted me to do. It's helping people. Complete strangers, my community, my friends, my family. It's kids. It's coaching my team in baseball. Whether I'm helping by getting on that fire truck or getting in that boat and going out onto the river and pulling people from it, or whether it's getting into an ambulance trying to save someone's life, or being with the kids here in church, or just putting a simple fundraiser together, I know that he is by my side every single time, and this is exactly what he wants me to do. So that's me. My life was far from perfect. I didn't reach adulthood unscathed, but I'm better because of what I went through and the things that I experienced. I'm a handful. I'm fun. I love with my whole heart, and I care until there's nothing left. I would do anything for anyone. Why? That's how I was raised, and that's the way God wants me to be. There's a quote that I found. It took me a long time to come to the realization, but I finally have, and I'm at complete peace with it. It's okay to smile through your grief. As time passes, it's even okay to laugh and enjoy yourself. We're all still here for a reason. It's time to live life with purpose and passion. Live your life with purpose and passion. It's exactly what I'm doing.